The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls from around the globe, my brother, me, an advice show for the modern era Eurovision special. My name is Justin McElroy. I'm your oldest brother.
Oh, I'm Travis McElroy, your middlest brother.
I'm your sweet baby brother, Griffin McElroy. Justin, I love how you said Eurovision special really quick and under your breath as if to hide it.
I didn't want it to be a big commitment because I don't want to talk about it that much.
Folks, don't get it twisted. This bit might not work.
And so Justin just left himself a little rip cord, a little parachute to get out of it if he needs to. What? I never said that. What are you talking about?
I thought I was pressing the cough button.
It's funny that you said that, Travis, because many of the performers in Eurovision 2016, their acts involved parachutes of multiple kinds.
Now I did not watch Eurovision because I wanted to come at this Eurovision special with fresh eyes, as audience might. I want to be their window in. I want to
fresh,
be their data.
Quite a sacrifice.
Fresh, dumb, uninformed eyes.
Exactly. So tell me, it's people from countries that are not America.
Yes.
Right.
Singing songs.
Pretty much. It's gotten to the point with the Eurovision contestants where it's starting to feel a bit intentional. Like, it is not just Europe, but it's definitely not America. Like, that's kind of becoming what they mean by this. Like, they only let us watch it this year on the logo, which is like such a perfect pairing for it. But
here's the thing, fellas. I don't think they can keep America out for too long because we have a special way of getting what we want.
We're a little bit of a juggernaut, I think would be the word I would use.
I don't want to get dictatorial about it, but what baby want, a baby gonna get.
if we levy sanctions against Europe so that we get to participate in Eurovision, maybe that's like first act of whoever's president 2017.
If we already weren't embargoing them in some way to get me up on that stage. Here's the thing, my boys, my brother boys. I recently came to the sad realization that even if I started right now and I started working real, real hard and I quit both of my jobs, all of my jobs, my many jobs, I quit all of them, and I just dedicated myself to sport, I probably will not be able to qualify for the Rio Olympics in 2016.
How many months away is that?
Like one, I was really thinking about, like, maybe there's some loophole, maybe there's some sport I haven't thought of that if I just really put my nose to the grindstone for 30 days, I could get Olympics good at.
Is there like a beanbag, you know, cornhole in the Olympics this
year? If there
year?
Was bagos in the Olympics, and I, God knows I've been petitioning the council for that for a long time, but no, sadly no. Like my best chance is like beach volleyball, and that's even like way beyond my
even that those dudes are like 9 feet tall.
Yeah, and huge. the women are 9 feet tall. Everyone's 9 feet tall. It's a nightmare.
Everyone's 9 feet
and
tall,
and all the dudes got that surgery to sew up all their various cracks and holes to prevent sand infiltration
and to prevent ball passage through. They've made themselves into human kites, essentially.
Yeah, basically.
So the situation is such that I will not, this is my formal announcement, I will not be attending and competing in the Rio Olympics 2016 games.
Even if invited?
If invited, you know I'll be there.
Okay.
Because it would be rude.
A boycott.
No.
He's not a cad.
No, it's just I don't think I'll be able to do sport that good. So my whole thing is now I'm turning my attention to just what the next thing will be, and I think the next thing will be me representing America in Eurovision 2017, singing my song about, you know, patriotism or like whatever the mm-hmm. situation is in 2017.
Here's what I'm confused by, because it seems like there's a structure already in place of yes. like everybody's got their own idol, American yeah. Idol, Canadian Idol, you know, Britain X Factor, whatever they call it over there. It feels like it should be like the Miss America pageant where everybody like wins their idol, so and then it we is have like a world idol.
It is essentially like there's the UK's dudes, where these two dudes that were on The Voice and they competed against each other on The Voice and they were bitter rivals. But then I think, much like in a Japanese visual novel, these
or
two
the
pretty,
Mighty Ducks.
These two pretty boys. Nope, not exactly like the Mighty Ducks. I was doing a Japanese visual novel joke because these two very pretty boys fell in love. And oh. I don't think that happens in D1, D2, or D3.
Did it? Hold on.
Hold on, wait.
Charlie and Banks.
I'm what writing a note, writing notes right now that say, the Mighty Ducks, Japanese visual novel, any boy slash any boy. Okay, we got that one filed away for later. Can I please do this?
Can Griffin just be for America? Can Griffin just do this?
I promise not to fuck it up. Like, a lot of those boys got up there, and it was only the boys that fucked it up, I feel like. Because yeah. The boys would get up there, and they had a guitar. And once I saw a guitar, I was like, I'm not going to enjoy this. What I want is a woman in a dress made out of crystals and light, and then she does a Final Fantasy summon. That's like, those were the best ones.
Those are the best ones.
There was the Ukraine did one where she was dancing and light came out of her feet, and then like she sucked up all the light in the entire like stadium, like all the light like flew into her body and she was glowing, and then she scream sang a sad dirge into the air, and a tree made up Yggdrasil fucking barfed out of her mouth and filled the place with life and beauty. And I like that's kind of I think the style I would go for.
So they have been doing, Travis, they've been doing this for 60 years, and it only now occurred to them that maybe they could let us watch this amazing spectacle that they have been hiding from us for all this time because they're afraid, rightfully so, that we would ruin it.
Griffin, step by step, what would your performance be? Walk us through it.
So just based on the Eurovision I did watch, it would involve whatever song I sang. Is there a song that has two key changes? How many does Man in the Mirror have?
It can't be previously published. That's one of the rules.
Oh, really?
Okay, what about...
It has to be completely new.
Boy in the Reflective Surface.
Okay.
I'm contemplating the boy in the Reflective Surface. I'm wondering if he could do things a little differently.
Make that transition.
Switch it up.
There was, I can't remember, I think it was Croatia had this thing where she looked dope. I think this is Croatia who looked like Robin, essentially. And she came out and she's wearing like a kind of a big kimono situation. And then there are four monks there. And the four monks did nothing. They just stood behind her. But at one point, two of them came up and tore her dress apart. And she was wearing a better, even cooler armor dress underneath. So like definitely something like that. Whatever I do, it's going to be opulent. That's for certain. And it's going to involve the consumption and expulsion of light from every pore in my body.
One of the coolest things or the craziest things or however you want to say it about Eurovision is that they have there are like 26 competitors in the finals, and 10 of the like 20 of those are from semifinals, one is from the host country, and five of them are the UK, France, Germany, Spain, and Italy, because they give the most money, so they always get to be
That's
I like
fucking that's so good.
I hope that much transparency in a thing. It's hey, this what's up.
I hope one day one of the countries abuses it and just like, here is our song, it's called Time for Fart. Enjoy. You must listen. It's a finalist. It is called A Time for Fart. There's not even notes. It just...
Were you doing Gru from Despicable Me? I don't know what country he's from, but that's what you sounded like.
It was just generically European.
Okay.
Generically European. One thing I will say, though, I do hope we can get announcers that aren't quite as scandalous next year for our American commentation. At one point, a very attractive young man was, they said that he was openly bisexual, and then one of the commentators said, so everybody gets a turn, and I'm not sure That's how that works.
No.
I'm not sure that's what that means.
And maybe they were confused because they saw the person and thought they were, you know, a carnival ride and not a human being.
Misheard, and they thought, they said, he's open with his bicycle.
So everybody can ride his bicycle.
And now, welcome to the stage, a pile of orifices that can sing real nice. I don't think that's how it works, Carson. Anyway, Eurovision Song Contest was amazing. Catch you in 2017.
I'm going
to
be there.
I still won't be allowed to perform, but if they are, Griffin is ready to answer.
I would like Griffin to perform, and I would like Justin and I to commentate, because it would just be a lot of this. What?
What?
Over and over
again. He's amazing. If they don't let the U.S. in, I'm fucking moving to Croatia. And I'm gonna make the connections I need to make. I'm gonna grease the right wheels, grease the right elbows.
By the way, just like YouTube Eurovision like greatest or Eurovision weirdest or your, if you have no idea what we're talking about, please seek this out. This is like high quality entertainment. Anyway, it's not as high quality as the show we've got prepared for you. So let's get to it. My girlfriend and I just moved to a new city where we only know a single person. We like this person, and she has gladly welcomed us into her group of friends. The trouble is, she and her friends are all salaried software developers at big tech companies. My girlfriend and I are artists currently working hourly. We like hanging out with these people, but they often end up at bars, restaurants, etc., that are a bit over our budget. Even game nights can get pricier than we like once we order takeout from their favorite nice places. Brothers, how do we trick our well-to-do friends into adopting our penny-pinching lifestyle that's from not-so-salaried in Seattle?
This is really a very tough question.
It really is.
This is a hard one to start out. We could have started with a softball, Scraps.
Nope. Hey, this is 303. This is volume 2. No more softballs.
I've reached I don't know how to talk about this without sounding like a complete asshole, but I don't really care so much about the exchange of finances anymore when it comes to a hang sesh or a dinner with friends. And I think it's just because like I'm doing better than I did when we started doing this podcast, and I was absolutely coming from the other way, and I was like, oh, when you split the check, it's not right that one person needs a steak and one person needs a salad and they pay the-. Like to me, it's harder for me to get a hang sesh going with my group of friends, and so this stuff doesn't matter as much to me anymore, which I know is like not helpful to hear,
it's
but
also,
like,
I mean, it's a little bit. I'm with you. I understand what you're saying. It's also kind of a privileged position.
It's a privileged position, but the point I'm trying to make is like, I bet to your friends, it doesn't like matter as much that you cannot contribute as much to the hang session. But that's just like, I feel like that's how our group of friends operates.
I feel you, because every so often, like, I find myself in a position where I'm able to cover something where I'm like, I've got it. Dinner's on me, right? And you'll occasionally see the other person kind of do that little bit of like slump shoulder, like I feel bad that I can't
see that,
and it makes me happy to cover the thing, and it doesn't. Or if someone's like just says outright, like, "Hey, could we go somewhere else? This is a little out of my price range." I'm never gonna judge them.
I'm totally fine with that too. My point is just like I am so psyched when I can get a board game sesh together with my friends.
Because a lot.
Huh?
You're saying sesh a lot. Like
I'm
sesh.
Am I saying sesh a lot? Like okay. I'll dial it back. Whenever I'm having a fucking box social with my buds, I get so excited to that event has come together that like I just like I just don't care if I get dinner. And that's not coming from like a my treat, come together, people feast upon my generosity. It's not that. It's just like I don't give a shit about that. The more important thing to me is like I'm happy that we all got together. So like
one thing you can try is that like if you know everybody goes through different times, so they have a bit more money, and there's other ways that like your friends can contribute. So sometimes we'll go out with like a couple friend, and you know, I'll cover the check, or Sid and I will cover the check, and then after the meal, I'll look at the husband, and I'll say, "And now I will have your."
No, come on.
Yeah. That no, but listen, hear me out.
I don't want to hear. No, I specifically interrupted you because I didn't want to hear you out.
It's one thing that you could try.
Hold on, I want to see where he's going with this.
Now I will have your woman. Uh-huh. Like I'll try. Like you say it like that.
Like like Zangief.
Say it like Zangief? No, I will have your. Let me give a secondary.
Okay, you're doing the Dracula.
I feel like that one got outvoted.
Yeah.
You're both artists. Congratulations. This problem has been solved, courtesy of yours truly, Justin McRae, the king of device. Next time, everybody they get their what is it? Sesame for chicken wings, faux. What is it, like a good takeout? Like, what's fancy takeout? I only have like 8 different Papa John's here. But like, you have faux takeout, or you're just like eating.
Now, what
like,
is faux takeout? Is that like the restaurant like, is somehow your rival, your enemy, and they challenge you to eat their food?
I don't know what faux is, but a lot of people are talking about
it's lately. Nothing. It's pho.
You mean pho?
Pho?
Yeah, dog.
What?
The O has the O has like a fun line over
that
it.
That sounds like you're gonna finish a word and like bailed halfway through. Like, pho.
Can I get some fun soup?
All right, let me try. Let's say you're getting like really like nice pizza, and you get like they order from a place that puts like gold in it, and you are eating it, and as you're eating it, because you're an artist, you can just look at the person who picks up the check and say, "Congratulations, you're now a patron of the arts." Because that, think about it, they're helping to support putting more artistic works out into the world because they are helping to keep you fed.
They're so giving you pizza fuel. So that you're can make artworks.
If you're an artist, you are never mooching. You are allowing patronage to occur. It's a beautiful system that's been in place since the Middle Ages. And who are we to upset that particular apple cart?
Take a pepperoni off the za, and especially one that has a pool of grease in it. And then you take a parchment, and then you do a little doodle. Look at this political cartoon I made.
You take two of the garlic bread sticks, and you stick forks in them like Benny and June. Uh-huh. And you say, look, I do performance art.
Look at this.
You just help pay for it.
This and then you just eat the breadsticks. And also, if it comes down to it, maybe you plan an event every so often and try to work that into the rotation of you guys all hanging out. And then you have a little bit more control over what the cost of everything is and what the spending of everything is. And
but this hard thing is like, I know what you're saying, Trav, but like the hard thing is like, it's also not, I mean, this is shitty, but like, this is such a pervasive thing. Like this happens
for
a lot of people who are like, everybody's this at the same social economic strata in college, basically because, or you know, in high school and college, because like, nobody has a job. Like nobody has a job. And then it gets like stratified over the years after it. And it's like, it's not fair for this couple to like try to get everybody to do something that is like less expensive. You know what I mean? Like, cause it's not a concern to them.
I think the bigger issue is in that first sentence of the question, when they say they just moved here and they really only know one of these folks. And so like, I feel like I've never stopped hanging out with somebody because we were in different economic strata or whatever.
Yeah.
But I can understand how that discomfort could be magnified based on the fact that you are new to this group. And so it's sort of,
it's a little bit harder to be like, I can't afford it and not expect judgment because you don't know these people as well.
I still don't think there will be any judgment unless these people are like complete jags.
There won't be judgment. It'll be self-inflicted, right? It's an emotional toll it takes on you. Like, because you do feel that way. Like, even if the other people don't care, like, I think people like, I look for opportunities where I can like do this kind of stuff because I like taking care of people. But I know that also has like, you know, some people that sort of grates on them.
And, you know, like, I also bet that, like, these people look at you with a tinge of jealousy because you guys get to, like, create art. And, like, they may love their jobs, but, like, wish that they could be artists.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, that kind of thing. Like, everybody has something in their lives that everybody else looks at and goes, I wish I could do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not like their lives are perfect and you guys are not doing it right. Just everybody has a different path.
A lot of people look at me and they say, I wish I could sing and spin at the same time like Griffin does for his Eurovision performance. And exactly. I say, it's really hard to do because like a lot of people can sing, a lot of people can spin, doing both at once.
Get out of here.
It's really tricky. Can I move on to this? As long as we're talking about fungible matters, I'd love to discuss a relevant.
That was my favorite TGIF show.
Fungible matters. Everywhere you look. That's not the theme song to Family Matters. this one's sent in by Rob Van Lipwig. Thank you, Rob. It's by Yahoo Answers user. Oh, okay. Well, okay. All right, so this Yahoo, okay, so this Yahoo Answers user has Brack as their user icon, so I got really excited about what the name would be, but then I hovered over it, and the name is Brack Hates Hillary Clinton.
No.
Okay.
Which I don't know, I think you may be projecting a little bit. Anyway, this person says, how would you handle students who charge your son or daughter $1 each time he or she farts in class?
So open, that's what you're gonna say.
Okay. You were hoping I was, you were, at what point did you start hoping for that?
He waited with bated breath.
How would you handle students who charge your son or daughter $1 each time he or she farts in class?
I love this because it, I think,
oh, you, oh, you love this.
Well, there's an inherent implication that it has happened enough that they had to establish punitive measures.
Yeah.
Well, but this was like the swear jar in the office that it was like, no, you know what, Derek? Fine. You want to do it? Every time it's a dollar. Now, do you want to do it? Oh, you're still doing it. $5.
I would want this because this is a, this could turn into a very weird, potentially profitable form of bullying. Because you could, you, if not, if in the, in the wrong hands, this law keeper would just be like, I heard that cheesy blaster, give me a buck. And it's like, I didn't.
That was Steve.
One.
That wasn't me.
And so
these
I would
are a
almost,
little higher pitch. That's would, how you can tell.
I would almost want this to be either like an elected position or like a captain of the safety patrol. Maybe just the captain of the safety patrol is the one that does it.
The question is it everybody is held to the same standard, or is it just one kid?
Right. Can he buy somebody else's carbon offset credits to, like, blow some more if they aren't particularly tooty?
Yes. That's a good point. And another form of corruption is you just bribe the Justicar and say, like, how about you let me get off scot-free? I'll give you 5 for $10.
I also wonder if you can, like, if you do pay the dollar, if that's the system that's been put in place here, if you do pay the dollar, do you then get to fart without any sort of, like, shame
like
or
like, you pay ahead, you pay it forward. You say, like, here's 10 for the day, here's leave
a,
me alone.
Here's a,
I'm just going to be ripping them nonstop.
Here's a GameStop pre-order for the fart I'm going to do at 3:15 p.m. today. Look forward to that.
Where's the money go? Do you think it just goes into a pool for the whole class, or is there one specific kid who's
fucking
this?
You go to fucking Cedar Point. It's like, it's a big class trip. It's like, damn, thanks, Michael. Keep eating those that fibrous food, my boy.
I'm glad you like that hummus, Michael. You
damn,
pay
Michael,
for us to go to Kosai. Thanks, dog.
I'm having a fun time on this roller coaster. Glad you're lactose intolerant as fuck, Mikey. I wish Mikey could have been here with us on this roller coaster trip he paid for, but unfortunately, his parents had to sell their house.
He done tooted their savings away.
The law's the law. There's
kids took me out of house and
I
home.
I wish it was up to me.
Man, this is the best fart trip we've ever been on, guys. Next year, let's really up all the sort of high protein beanie foods, and let's get to Cabo.
We had a great time, Miss Frizzle.
Miss Frizzle, let's fart our way to Cabo.
What if the teacher had to pay? Was the only one, like, anytime someone in the class farted, the teacher was the one paying the tax.
What sense does that make?
That's just the teachers are already not making enough money, and now they're having to pay for their students' toots.
I think it's like cab rules, right? Like, they have to hang signs up in cabs now because human beings are awful, and it's like, hey, I have to drive around in this car all day. Just don't. Please don't. I think the teachers operate by the same rule set. Like, you can move on in third period. You get to leave and go study science, but your specter hangs out here in this room I have to be in all day. I think the teacher gets a buck. I think a teacher gets the buck.
Well, they're definitely getting their beak wet in this whole you pay a buck for it. Like, maybe
they're definitely getting the juice somewhere. Yeah. The vig.
It's going towards their 401k, you know what I mean?
I'm worried we've been indelicate.
Fart 01k.
I'm worried we've been indelicate, because I'm looking at the answers that people have said, and they're all very concerned. I would talk to the school. Any act of being mean or extorting another student is being an actual bully. If the school principal won't do anything, go to the school board. If they won't do anything, raise hell. Start calling news stations and create a Facebook post on the school site. Try to get... Oh, thanks, Dad!
Call.
My flatulent son is getting bullied so bad! Next on WCHS News, this kid farts... Oh, bunch. Oh, my God, you wouldn't believe it.
Enough
anyway.
That this is bullying and not just like a once or twice thing. That's the
just
thing.
So we get it right on the lower third, the last name is Stinkmeister?
No, I told you already.
It's Stonkenmeister.
Stonkenmeister, please.
I don't know which side of this I come down on. I feel like... Justin, you're a parent now.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like it depends on how the bully comports himself. Like, good I feel like point. if it's like give me a dollar, farty, like it's bad. But if he's like, listen, I hate that. Like,
I hate that I have to do this.
But you know, it's out of my hands. Like, I.
What if he's got a little like green visor and like some like sleeve garters, and every time there's a fart, he just like taps it into like a paper calculator printer thing and like pulls down a handle and he's like, that's one more. And it's not, there's no bullying to it whatsoever. This is just like a fact, like matter of fact exchange of goods and services. You fart, it's a dollar period.
What's the punishment if you don't pay up though?
Prison? Well, they break your legs.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, they break your legs.
What if you have a chair that just, like, squeaks weird?
Let me pose this to you guys. You travel back in time, in your minds, to when you were in, like, middle school, high school, elementary school.
Yeah.
If you knew you could pay a dollar, and if you paid, you would receive no ridicule for farting.
This is what I was saying, Trav. Like, this is what I'm saying. I think it's worth it. If it's like, I don't have to lie about this.
Yep.
I don't have to fucking be ashamed. One time, a kid pretended that I farted in class, and this kid pretended that I farted in class, and he was a friend of mine, but he pretended that I farted in class after I think he farted, and I got so mad at him that I picked up a pencil and jammed it into his thigh.
Jesus.
And I got had a little bit of trouble with the higher ups. But like
that whole thing could have been avoided with the proper exchange of
if I could have been like, yeah, I guess so. Pay the man.
Yeah.
Pay the man his fart money. Like fart bounties could really help to eliminate the embarrassment, you know,
right?
You can just do it because it's human.
But
you should have to pay a price. There should be a price. You're emitting. This could be a great way to teach kids about the carbon tax though.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I understand that you have to emit these gases. You are going to pay for what you've emitted into our lungs.
I just think that there's a whole sliding scale you could set up to pay off, like, what is your, you know, your penance to pay off embarrassment tax in school, where it's just like, oh, like, I whatever, fill in the blank, farted in class, or, like, I accidentally called the teacher mommy, you know what I mean?
Here's
$2,
sure.
And now well, I can't get made fun of.
That would actually be a great equalizer for this fungible strata that we discussed earlier, because, like, if there's a kid in your class who's, like, really rich, then you could just assume that they need all that money to pay off, like, the farts that they do. And
all
so, like, a rich kid is no longer, like, in charge of the school, right?
Yeah.
The rich kid is now this, like, oh, you must need all that. You must need all of your parents' money because of...
You're a fart leper.
Yeah. This has been this got weird. Can we do another question?
Man, I'm still trying to get myself together. I really, for a 35-year-old, like, I do think farts are very funny.
Oh yeah.
Like yeah, I've been doing this show for a while. You think I'd be a nerd to it, but man, oh man. A good friend of mine has a deathly fear of alligators. She is petrified by the very thought of them. If she even sees a picture of one, she freaks out. Now, this might be a legitimate fear, except for one tiny detail. She lives in Colorado.
Alice, that's gator country.
There was a night when she heard a noise on her second story balcony and was too petrified to move because she was convinced that a gator had climbed into her balcony and was flipping around out there and trying to get in.
Jesus.
How can I get her over this ridiculous phobia?
That's from Captain Hook's best friend in the Rockies.
And they call me, I'm the world's greatest cat burglar, and they call me the Gator because of my ability to scale walls and flip around until I open a door.
I feel like they're
terrifying.
Yeah, they're not good. They're not a good animal.
Story of my house. If I look out the window and see a gator like flapping his stupid tail against the window, I'm going to let that bad boy in because he earned it. Come get what
What's
you need.
What's his story?
What's your
story
to
tell you?
Come take what you need, stud. You've earned it getting all the way up here. You scrappy little lizard. Come on.
Come on, bud.
Come on in. Come on in. Come get what you need.
I was totally like immune to both the like terror projection ability of alligators and also the, you know, seductive potential of alligators. I was just sort of, they were a non-threat in my mind until I learned that those motherfuckers can run at like 40 miles an hour. And that's crazy. They can run so they can run as fast as like a moped. And that's crazy. And then that's when I kind of got it. Cause you see, if you've seen the gator, that's too late.
Okay, I've never seen that happen ever, and that sounds like some bullshit that alligators started. Like,
oh,
hey,
don't even fuck with us. We can run real, real fast.
Yo, lab coat, get over here. Guess what? I can run 40 miles an hour. Put that in a book.
Write it down.
Write it down. If it's in the book, I don't have to do it.
Also, I'm bulletproof.
It says it says here in this reptile book that alligators can run 40 miles an hour, and that the boy gators have just big, great ding-dongs, and they love to... It says here boy gators have had sex with just, like, so many lady gators. Like, it's insane, and that all the lady gators, like, loved it, and that boy gators have a bunch of money. This is crazy. This book is a crazy book.
It says this in the book that if you feed an alligator a raw steak, he'll spit out a Ferrero Rocher and grant you a wish.
That's crazy.
Who would have ever thought that, like, would be... The way that gators work intestinally.
It says here if you're a kid and you just jump in a gator's mouth, then there's a Game Boy in there. That's crazy. There's a Game Boy in there and it's got Pokemon in it. And then the cartridge has all the Pokemon pre-caught and they're all level 99. That's crazy. Inside of every gator, there's just a fucking binder, and it has all of the Pokemon cards in it, all the way up to Gen 6. That's fucking nuts. Anyway, get in there. It also says it's risk-free. Get in there, kids. Get in there, young Griffin. Get in there.
And that's how Griffin died.
I think the problem here is that your friend is afraid of the idea of alligators.
Which is horrifying.
And you need to do a little, like, immersion therapy. You need to take her to a gator farm. I'm not saying, like, throw her in a pit with some gators.
No.
I'm saying, like, you need to, like, take her to, like, one of those, like, gator shows where a burly person wrestles
Has sex
a gator.
With an alligator.
No.
Oh, sorry.
No. Where they, like, wrestle the alligator and you say, like, see, that person just, like, totally dominated that alligator. You don't have to be afraid anymore.
It's like when I saw
you to do that.
When I was like six and I saw Resident Evil being played by you guys and I was afraid of zombies for like 2 years until I watched a man have sex with a zombie, I guess. And then it was like, all right, we can beat this thing together.
I think dressing up like a gator is good. Like, and just refusing to until she gets over it. Cause then it's like, oh my, it gets confusing. Like, oh my, I'm afraid of alligators, but my best friend's an alligator. Maybe I'm not as afraid of them as I thought I was.
Mm. Maybe a baby gator. They're really cute.
They're not bad. Oh my. Yeah.
Get him an egg with a gator in it and have him raise it from birth.
Yeah, say there's a bird in there, I bet. You fall in love with this egg. There's a bird in there, I think.
And then when it hatches, you're like, listen, I understand. Trust me. This is the scariest part of what's happening. The reveal. Like, wait for the prestige.
Tomorrow's going to be good. Today's going to be bad. The hatching day will be bad.
The hatching will be bad.
I swear to God, Susan, I thought there was a bird in there. I thought I was just giving you an anonymous.
The egg guy told me it was a bird egg. I don't know what to tell you, but we have to keep it legally.
A special alligator killing eagle is what he said to me.
Maybe it turns into that. Maybe it will evolve into a bird. Keep an eye on it.
I'm out $17.
How do you think I feel? That was solid fart money I could have spent.
That's 17 farts down the drain.
or back up the drain, I guess. Let's speaking of fart money, let's get the money zone.
I want to tell you about Trunk Club.
Yes.
And you can't stop me. So everybody today, across the board, no matter what age, whether you're 9 months old or 99 months old, you
That's
don't know
very
how to
old.
Dress yourself. Yeah, really old. You don't know how to dress yourself. Like, you're a mess. Look at yourself. Good news. There's Trunk Club. And Trunk Club has lots of people who can tell you how to dress yourself and help you find really, really cool clothes that, like, will fill. I found a pair of jeans at Trunk Club that was, like, the jeans I've dreamed about my entire life. And I didn't know that jeans like this existed until Trunk Club helped me find them.
They've got your dream jeans.
My dream jeans. They've got personal stylists that will talk to you, walk you through stuff, and work together with you to find the looks that you're looking for. And how it works is they send you the stuff, and then you keep what you like, and you send back what you don't, and you pay for what you keep. So you don't end up with a bunch of shit that you don't like, and you're stuck with it, and you've already paid for it. You actually get to, like, try it on, show it to your friends and family, and, like, say, like, what do you think? Okay, great. And then you keep it. So if you want to check it out, you can go to trunkclub.com/mybrother. And check it out and maybe work with a stylist, you know, check out some shit. See, I'm telling you, I got an outfit from Trunk Club that is my new, like, I'm going out to a concert.
It's your new Doug Funny uniform.
It's my new Doug Funny. It's my on and off court buddies.
I want to tell you guys about Dunk Club. Now, this is a new club I've started.
Uh-huh.
And basically what it is you pay me directly, that's the best part of this service, no middleman, just me, and you pay me directly, and I'll come to your house every day, every single day, whether you want me to or not, and sure. I'll just show you one of my dunks. And it's not really an educational thing, like I'm not there teaching you new and exciting and explosive dunks. It's just like, you just get to watch me do one. And it's just one dunk a day. Please don't ask me to repeat the dunk, because I absolutely won't do it, and you're just going to make it uncomfortable, and you know I'm going to be there tomorrow, so like it's important that we maintain like a sort of balance in our professional relationship. But yeah, I just come to your house and do one dunk every day.
Oh.
And I really only know how to do the one dunk, and it's just I have two hands over my head, and I jump as high as I can, and let's see what happens.
You'll do it over and over and over.
Yeah, every day. Can I tell you about...
trunkclub.com/mybrother.
I want to tell you guys about Blue Apron. Now, this isn't now. It's has the same name as the other Blue Apron, but this is another club I've started where I'll come to your house every day and do a dunk.
No, in an apron,
in a blue apron. Yeah, it's kind of like a comedy thing. No, Blue Apron is.
And you just yell, "Dinner is served!" as you slam the dunk.
Right, as I slam the dunk right into the dunk hole. No, Blue Apron is amazing. All of us, I'm pretty sure, use it. We all use it, right? I use it. Okay, yeah.
Big fan.
It's fucking incredible. Ate it yesterday, gonna eat it today. They send you ingredients that you need to cook incredible meals with the highest quality standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. We talk a lot about how like you get the recipes and then you make the good meals. Stuff like Japanese ramen noodles, and I had a salmon salad yesterday that was like really, really good.
The meals available in May include stuff like crispy cod and cabbage slaw tacos with pepita, pineapple, and avocado salsa.
I got some General Tso's chicken upstairs.
General Tso's chicken,
Man, yeah, I'm excited about that one. Middle Eastern chicken and chickpea stew with pita croutons. That sounds good. Ooh,
got some pita, some pan-seared pork chops with two cheese mashed potatoes and sautéed spinach. Wait, like, the meals are very, very good, but, like, what's also really cool is that the meals usually share, like, a common ingredient that's, like, farm to table and like really fresh in season and really, really good. So anyway, you can check out this week's menu and get your first two meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/mybrother. It's blueapron.com/mybrother. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Seriously, we all use it. It's changed my life.
I love it a lot. Go check it out.
I did not cook before we started doing it, and now I cook a few times a week, and it's amazing.
I've got a Jumbotron message to Ashley from her husband, Ben. It says, "Happy 5th anniversary. I can't think of a better way to say I love you than for the brothers to say it for me."
Can we all say it? Can we all just say it in unison right now?
Okay. One, two, three.
I love you.
I love you.
However, don't worry. By the time this airs, I'll hopefully have thought of something else as well. Probably? Anyway, here's to another 5 years together. You better not, because we just said it. So if you say it now, it's going to be weird. It's a bit copycat.
What if you say something better? What if you're the one who finally discovers something better to say than I love you? Like, discovers, like, the next strata of, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, like, what's beyond that?
Like, what's the umami of I love you?
What's the umami, the fifth love flavor?
What is the fifth love flavor?
You're joining us here at Kitchen Stadium. The chef has just used the fifth love flavor.
I have another message I want to do real quick. It is from Mark Petrocious. Now, people say, how do you remember these names? And this one I have a mnemonic device for. It's supercalifragilistic, hey, it's Mark Petrocious. That's how I help always remember it. And this message is from Drew. And it says, hey, chuckle fuck. I figured out what better way to spend the money that you bet me thinking that Star Wars 7 would be worse than Episode 1 than to have your three favorite brothers let you know how dumb you are.
Yeah.
So here you go. Your hard-earned money being used to tell you how bad you fucked up. Enjoy.
Yeah, that was a bad bet and an expensive bet. Who does that? I bet you $150 that this Star Wars movie is going to suck. What?
What?
That's also a bad bet. It looked amazing in the previews.
Yeah, what the were trailers thinking, were like Petrocious? Really. Yeah.
Nobody knows when Petrocious did this. Like, nobody knows when he made this bet.
Yeah.
Like, if they, maybe he just.
The records have been lost to time.
Maybe it was early, like when somebody was like, hey, did you hear the Alias guy is making his own Star Wars movie by himself and he's playing all the parts?
Yeah.
Like, that would have been an opportunity. Maybe at that point,
there's no lightsabers in this one. Isn't that weird? Or space. Weird.
Apparently, it's all happening under the sea.
It's an underwater Gungan fuckfest. Got one more message here. This one is for Ryan, and it's from Thomas, who says, hey, Ryan, even though you're an upper manager now and have all these super important responsibilities, I hope you have a few minutes to hear the McElroy brothers deliver a message from a lowly peon. I'm so proud to have you as my brother. The work you do at Patch Gaming helps people struggling with anxiety and depression is incredibly important, and you're such a great lead events coordinator. However, I would appreciate it if you'd stop being so damn good at Kerbal Space Program. You make the rest of us look bad. I know we both have a lot on our plates, but I'm glad we found the McElroy family of shows together, even if my white whale is getting you to listen to The Adventure Zone. You should. It's a pretty good show. Thanks for being there when I need a talk, a great co-op buddy, and my partner in geekery. I love you, Thomas.
That's very sweet.
That's sweet. I don't like him that earnest, though. I like, don't you want to make fun of him for something? So there's got to be something. Maybe
he's too nice.
You're too good at putting together spaceships.
You're too good at leading events, you coordinator.
You cool coordinator.
I just looked at the first three words I saw on the page. That was not a good insult. You stinking coordinator.
Ty is a pedantic person. I think when he pronounces these words, it's in a very show-off-y way. Gyro.
Yiro.
Sacre bleu.
Sacre bleu.
Ayers Rock.
Uluru.
What you are witnessing is real. The participants are not actors. They are actual litigants with real cases. They call in via Skype to Judge John Hodgman's court, the real people's court. Now I call you to Judge John Hodgman's internet court. Find it at MaximumFun.org or wherever you download podcasts.
How about a Yahoo?
How about a cool, fresh Yahoo? A seasonal farm-to-market Yahoo. This one was sent in by Level 9000 Yadru Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew. It's by Yadru Answers user Abby, who asks, out of cheese? The local Mexican food place was out of cheese, and I want to write a letter of complaint instead of being rude. Any ideas of some gentle yet firm things I can say? A couple things. If I worked at this Mexican restaurant and we ran out of cheese one day, like, I know we fucked up. There's going to be three things. I know I said a couple. That's the first thing. The second thing is, if somebody walks up to me and says, hey, you fucked up, idiot. There's no cheese, dummy. How am I supposed to enjoy my meals? I would be upset at that person. But I would be way more upset if I received a letter in the mail telling me that I fucked up with the cheese problem.
To whom it may concern.
Because the insult, somebody rolls up and gets right up in your grill and is like, where's the fucking cheese, please? Then I would be like, ugh, I hate this interaction, but it'll be over soon. If I receive some sort of physical, tangible artifact in the mail informing me of a cheese problem that somebody had, I would be sadder that that person exists than I would be at the person who comes and yells at
my face. I just picture Griffin in that circumstance sitting down at his desk, and he's both looking at the letter and also the cheese order form he forgot to send, and he's just looking back and forth between the two of them and sobbing uncontrollably.
Just sobbing. Oh, I really fucked up.
I fucked up the whole cheese situation.
The whole cheese thing.
I did cheese bad from start to finish.
The third thing is just fuck you, man. Come on. You don't think they, come on. They know.
They weren't expecting such a run on cheese, you know? They thought they had enough cheese for the lunch rush. And then they had like eight people all come in at the same time and just ask for a big bowl of cheese. They weren't expecting it. It wasn't their fault. You know, sometimes you just run out of cheese. That's what being an adult is.
That's what
sometimes
being an adult
is accepting that there's not always cheese when you want it. And you have to make do. Maybe you get sour cream or you get extra avocado, whatever. But you have to accept that there's not always cheese when you want it. The world's not perfect.
Did you even stop to see if they had milk? Because if they have milk and thyme, you got cheese, my
dog,
friend.
If they got milk and salt and a hairdryer, you got cheese there, dude.
Did you offer to go get more cheese for them? Like, I'll go on a cheese run, just kick me like a 20, and I'll bring you guys back some cheese because we're all in this fucking thing together.
This big, dumb world is still spinning. All of us are just hanging on for dear life. I'll go get you some C-H-E-E-S-E, my boy.
And
here
what you didn't pay attention to is maybe their cheese ordering guy's having a really tough time. Maybe, like, he and his wife got in a fight before he came to work and he forgot to pick up cheese on the way. But here's you, in your little cheese-centric world, not even worried about his feelings.
Maybe it was weird cheese that looked more like butter. And you just thought it was butter, though.
Yeah.
We've all made that mistake at fancy restaurants.
Maybe he had cheese, but he thought it wasn't good enough for you, and he wanted to protect you.
Can I also ask fancy restaurants super quick, please stop bringing scoops of white to the table and expecting me to know
that's a test.
Cheese or butter or cream or ice, very small ice cream or mothballs, because you made a very big mistake.
Yeah, it could, or just like some sort of fun ball, like a toy, like a game. Like, it's gonna be a while before we can get our food out to you, so play with this small white ball,
like a Cracker Barrel.
I want to read this response from Mary's mama, who says, we have many fast food places near us where we live. During the lunchtime rush, it's not uncommon for soap and toilet paper to run out in the restrooms, food items to be made wrong by poorly trained new employees, and other mistakes of all kinds happening, including ingredients not being available. If this is a first-time occurrence, tell them, let them apologize, and then let it go. There's a proverb, once is happenstance, twice is coincidence, and three times maybe enemy action. So adjust your attitude, give them one more chance to do things right, and if they screw up after that, don't go there anymore.
Hold on. Is this person saying that the third time this fast food restaurant hates you?
Yo, fuck you, Derek. No cheese. No cheese for you. No cheese for you, Seinfeld joke. If this is a first time occurrence, tell them and let them apologize. Hey, you should have cheese.
Oh, but yeah. We're sorry.
But you don't have cheese. Did you know this?
But they say let them apologize. So it's like, listen, I wanted to say to you, you ran out of cheese. Now, do you have anything you would like to say to me?
How do you possibly sound sincere apologizing for running out of cheese?
Yeah, I don't know.
Thank you
for your time. I will take my answer off the air.
And then you close
your eyes and just wait.
When I worked in food service at the country's best yogurt, we ran out of a yogurt flavor. And if somebody had come up to me and been like, you no longer have cinnamon swirl, I would say, I know this. Like, why do you know? Like, if somebody walked up to me and was like, you're really, really high and you're just touching the cones with your bare hands because you forgot to put gloves on. Yeah, I know. I know this.
I also get a kick out of, like, as somebody who has worked in many, many retail jobs and a few food service jobs, I get a kick out of, like, people who don't realize exactly how low on the supply chain you actually are. If you are, like, talking to somebody at a restaurant, like, the idea that they could have in any way predicted or circumvented the issue of the cheese is baffling to me. Like, they don't know how the cheese gets there. They don't know where the cheese comes from before then. They know there's a place they open up and sometimes there's cheese and sometimes there aren't cheese. Like, that's all. Like, that's as high up on the chain as they go.
That ha- when I worked at Best Buy, there were numerous times where a truck would come in and be like, well, we didn't get any Wii's, which we're still sold out of, but for some reason we got like 20 Furbies, so that's great. And then we'll just add that to the pile.
Yeah, that you have no idea. You're one step up from the customer. Listen, if you want to come back here behind the counter and look for cheese, you're more than welcome to, because that's all I'd do.
So what you do is if someone complains to you about the cheese, you go, come with me. And then you find the next person up on the chain, and you're like, did you know we were out of cheese? And then you just keep moving up the chain until you find the cheese magnate, who's just sitting on a pile of cheese, not letting it out, like De Beers. They're just building up, you know, supply and demand on their cheese, and you yell at them.
Yeah.
Really hard.
I'm glad we all agree that you have to yell at somebody.
Yeah. You can't just accept that there's no cheese.
Like, oh, for sure.
No, this is, well, I don't know where this question came from, but I'm in America.
Yeah.
Cheese is my right.
I ride my bike to and from work every day, although listen to the Brothers McElroy, that's us, tell the
hopefully.
Best news. Yeah, hope. Yeah.
We but, haven't. Yeah, oh, God. TM.
What? TM. The whole,
why have we sat on this so long?
For 6 years, TM on 6 years.
The time, it cannot protect me from my greatest enemy. This passes the time, it cannot protect me from my greatest enemy. On my way to work, I ride by a small pond that is home to a perfectly rude family of geeses. They recently just had babies, and although I respect their life choices, the parents have become very defensive. One goose has taken a flying after me as I ride away as fast as I can. I'm afraid they are going to bite my legs off, and I need your help. How can I learn to coexist with my feathered friends? That's from wishing I could fly away home in Wisconsin.
We have had a, let's call it tumultuous, confusing relationship with geeses in the past, in the history of this show. I feel like we've oscillated between they are modern-day velociraptors, would love to fuck one of them guys. And then back to the velociraptor thing. And I feel like that's where we're at now. And I think maybe it's 2016 building bridges. I feel like maybe we need to build a bridge to the goose community. And let's just really role play it. Just real quick. A goose-based advice podcast for geese by geese. We're geese doing a goose-based podcast. And I feel like this is going to help enlighten it. And this question, hi, everybody. I'm Griffin McElroy. I'm a goose. And you're a goose and you're listening to this. This question comes from a goose from Wisconsin. And it says, shitty kids come up and kick me all the time. And they kick my kids for no reason because human beings are the worst. And they don't even think about like goose feelings when they just like kick the shit out of us. So like, what should I do? Well, thanks for sitting in Wisconsin. Thanks for this question. You need to be very defensive and you need to just attack first because we're just geese out here just trying to get along. We're just trying to survive. So just like bite, quack, 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 get out there, fly at them, attack them.
Yeah, because like you think about it, like if you got attacked by one goose, like every time this goose like fucked you up, it's the same goose every time. The next time you ran into a goose, you wouldn't differentiate. If everyone's like, I'm going to go pet that motherfucker, you'd be like, don't.
Don't do that, actually.
Geese are mean as fuck.
They bite your legs off. Here's what you need. You need to build a bridge here. I think Griffin's absolutely right.
Yeah, build a bridge over their nest so that way you don't have to
interact over trouble water. I think that, okay, if this were a movie, right, and this was like there's a damaged animal, you know, cagey, defensive animal, and you're going to do like a little horse whisper thing, do a little goose whispering, you're gonna
not
like
without a sexual agenda appended to it.
No, because they'll know. Like when you get close, maybe like park your bike and like you're just gonna sit, but within like visual range of the goose, but not close enough that they feel threatened. And then the next day, you're gonna do it a little closer. And then the next day, now this might take years.
Yeah,
but eventually, you'll be right next to them.
Are you gonna
and feed you'll the be
geese?
Like Jane Goodall, all up in that shit. You'll be Jane Goosall. You'll be right there.
Are you gonna try and feed these? Are you gonna try and feed these sweet feathered beasts?
No, you're gonna join their herd.
I see. No bribery then.
Unless what you are proposing right there is teaching them to trust humans.
Which you don't want to do.
Cannot stress this enough. You don't want to do.
Let me amend it then.
Let me propose an alternate plan, Travis. Every day you roll up to the geese and you toss him a bow staff and you're like, have at thee. And every day you fight the geese. And that teaches them to, one, be defensive of humans, but it also teaches them our weaknesses. So I'm saying every day you attack the geese full blast for like 30 seconds.
Do you think there will become a time where they respect you as a combatant? Like,
at first, you're going to kick their asses. Oh, yeah. But like, if you do it enough days and they live, you're gonna
wait. No, because there was a caveat in there that, much like Eurovision at the beginning of the podcast, you kind of tried to gloss right over.
It's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that they're going to start to learn your weaknesses. They're going to start to learn your attack patterns.
Do you pull your hits, Justin, or do you?
Absolutely not. Okay. I can't stress it enough. You got to go full blast at this goose. Give them everything you got, because that's what those shitty kids are going to be doing.
Right.
But if they can learn to defend themselves from you, like, they're going to be ready. When those shitty kids come, they're going to be flipping over them. They're going to be doing like some sort of feather blast.
I love this because I was going to amend it to say, like, just like a panda documentary I watched, what you have to do is dress like a goose and smear, like, goose poop and pee all over yourself so that you smell like one of them. But what you're proposing is, what I would say, is the polar opposite of that, where instead you're engaging them in the field of combat.
Right. Travis, you're approaching it from an upsettingly humanist perspective. And I feel like this question asker is also engaging this topic with the same perspective of just like, there's an animal that doesn't inherently like me. Yeah, like, that's fine. I think that's fine that some animals are like that, because we're definitely like that to, like, anything that we can eat. But
yeah, like, Justin, you're only not like that to them because you don't want to eat them today.
Right.
Like,
what Justin is suggesting is that we enforce the habits that they already have. And because I think that's a healthy habit for some animals to have. Like, I'm okay that geese are little feathered hate boats, essentially, flying hate boats. Like, I'm okay with that because, like, that's fine. There should be some animals like that. I'm comfortable with that. And, like, kids are going to come shoot bottle rockets at you. So Justin's going to do it first to train you how to dodge the bottle rockets.
He's going to toughen you up.
So I hope that helps.
The geese. Help? Play this for the geese. Can we get this information out to the geese somehow?
Can we get
that's
this to
mutually
geese?
Beneficial, because that's a whole new demographic for us that is an untapped market, as far as I know.
Would you guys, how hard would you guys, if you guys were on iTunes and you saw a podcast, it's like four geese only, how to fight humans. Like, I would so listen to that.
But you're not allowed to, Justin.
I'd be breaking, well, it'd be all quacks and shit.
Well, no, you would learn better kick a goose's ass, and that's not what we want to put out there for humans. We're already super duper good at it. There's gonna be a war one day,
between geese and humans,
and I want us to win. I'm not a fucking species traitor, but I do want them to be able to put up a fair fight.
Yeah, you don't want to feel bad about winning.
I would love for it to end in like a stalemate, lots of losses on both sides, where both of us like pull through. But there's like a begrudging respect is earned.
And then there's Christmas day where us and the geese all play soccer together.
And then, I would love to play soccer with the geese.
I would do that in a heartbeat. That's going to do it for us, folks. Thank you so much for listening to our show. We hope you had a lot of fun and a lot of laughs and frivolity. We certainly enjoyed ourselves. Thank you to everybody who bought tickets to see us in New York and D.C. Those tickets sold out day of.
I think so, there may be a few single tickets for DC, but they did send out a super low ticket warning, so it's possible that by the time this goes up, they are gone.
We learned last time we came to New York and did a theater that was like 100 seats, and it sold out like in 45 seconds, and we knew we fucked up instantly. Like, we knew that it was going to sell really well there, but you guys like blew us the fuck away. Like, thank you so much. I hope we put on a show that is good enough to like warrant the insane enthusiasm, you guys.
So it looks like DC, as we're recording this, you could still get some singles to DC. I don't know if you could get pairs it looks like you could get pairs together. Yeah, go quick. Those are not sold out. New York is sold out, I'm pretty sure. But
There's always a chance that, you know, there's resale tickets in New York, or that there's maybe a waiting list. But I'm going to tell you the same thing that we say every time, which is there's always a chance that you show up day of and you're able to get in last minute because people don't show up, but there is absolutely no guarantee of that. And we would hate to encourage people to do that and then they're not able to get in.
We know, like, if you don't live in Manhattan, like, it can be tough to get down there. So, like, we really don't want you to spend an hour on a train, like, coming to our show and then not be able to get in. So
But in case you were wondering, that usually is a thing that you're able to do, but no guarantees.
Okay.
We want to encourage everybody to go check out all the other amazing Maximum Fun shows at MaximumFun.org. A lot of them are McElroy related, but even the ones who aren't are really, really great. We just added a new one called, I believe it's called The Greatest Generation, for people who have maybe just started watching Star Trek or love Star Trek and feel that they're a little too old for it, which is silly. It's for everybody. It's really great. So listen to the podcast and feel included and feel involved and maybe learn a little bit about Star Trek. We also want to, if you want to learn all about every McElroy project that is out there in the world, you can go to McElroyShows.com. All our shows are on there. And also our Twitter accounts, Facebook groups, and contact information. So if you're looking to send in questions or mail something to us, it's all right there.
Also want to mention that John Hodgman is doing a bunch of live shows for Judge John Hodgman. It's another amazing Max Fun podcast that you should definitely be listening to. But they're coming to, he's coming to DC and Philadelphia and Brooklyn and Turner Falls. And you can find out how to get tickets for those at MaximumFun.org too. You should definitely go see that show. It's going to be very, very funny.
Also, I want to say, we know that it took us a long time to schedule a live show for 2016. Like, we didn't have one in the first half of the year. We're going to try to do more as we move forward. So we'll try to knock some more out in 2016 and maybe do some more in 2017. It's just a little bit hard to get them together, but we know that it's kind of a bummer that it took us so long to get to one, and we'll do more this year, we promise. And if you want to keep track of that, make sure to follow us on Twitter at MBMBAM and keep listening to the show.
I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song Instead of Departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. It's a very, very good album, and we are lucky that we are able to use it as our theme song. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, that's gonna do it for us. Let's wrap this bad boy up.
This final wrap up sent in by Stephen Horchek. Thank you, Stephen. It's by Yahoo Answers user Donna, who asks, what is the national soup for USA?
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hi, I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Riley Smurl. And we co-host a podcast called Still Buffering, a sister's guide to teens through the ages.
On our show, we tackle all of the hot teen topics that kids have on their minds today.
Hot teen topics?
Well, you know, the questions that are plaguing teenagers through their tumultuous growing years. Questions like, how do I party? Or what do I do with all this hair everywhere?
The same questions that people like Sydney had during their years as teenagers. Many, many, many.
Okay, not that many.
So, so long ago.
Yeah, okay, I think they get the idea. So search for Still Buffering on iTunes or MaximumFun.org for new episodes every Tuesday. Still Buffering.
I am a teenager.
And I was too. Over and over again. Over and over again.